welcome to the Papa's Football Podcast. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. With me today, co-host Howard Flood.
Much love, people.
Our top stories from the week: Andy Reid's triumphant return to Philadelphia. How bad is the NFC? And how the hell are the Bears and Dolphins undefeated? But first, my best Tony
Kornheiser. That's unbelievable, yeah.
You like that? You like that PTI in here? There you go. I think the top story for the week, NFC aside, how cooked are the 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking good after a poor performance against the Colts this week. I mean, I was a bit stunned that they lost at home in the fashion they did. And it wasn't the points they gave up as much as, like, they scored 7 points.
The offense has looked dead now for two games. I think a lot of people expected, hey, it happens in Seattle. The place is a lion's den to play in.
Right.
But you're coming home. You're going to bounce back against a team that, frankly, the biggest news for the Colts coming in, obviously, was the Trent Richardson trade. One of the only times I've kind of been blindsided during the week and was like, God damn it, I wish we did this show more than once a week, because that went down, what, Tuesday or some shit, or Monday?
By the way, he didn't do anything in that game yesterday.
He did nothing. I think his first run was a 1 yard touchdown, and after that it was, if I were a real pro and we had prep sheets, I would know it was the Colts current running back who kind of
Bradshaw took over.
Yeah.
So no, the thing about Trent Richardson, and just to bring in, why don't we praise the Colts for winning against the 49ers, who I still think are a good team?
I think it's hard to say they're a bad team
right
at this point. They have lost to two quality opponents and had a pretty good damn win in their week one game.
Green Bay just lost to Cincinnati, though. So here you have the 49ers' one win is against another 1-2 NFC team.
Yeah, but I'll say this. Week one, everyone was clowning, like, the Ravens made the botch of botches.
Oh, yeah.
By letting Anquan Boldin go. Maybe a certain Howard Flood as well.
But
and 2 weeks of hindsight, you know what? In Ozzy we trust, as they say, in Ballmer, hun.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, with Boldin, I think he's just being the target of defenses now, where they're taking that option away from Kaepernick. And, you know, he's not really getting enough to Vernon Davis either. So here you have him incapable of getting the offense off the ground at the moment. So is there going to be an adjustment from the 49ers? I'm not going to jump off and say that they're out of the playoffs, that they should be in crisis mode. Because, like, I think they could figure out their offense at this point. Like, they got...
That's the headline, by the way, on Pro Football Talk. It is literally, this is the first crisis of Harbaugh's tenure. I find it very hard to label 1-2 a crisis.
Yeah.
And yet they're saying it's the first time the dude has had a losing record in the NFL. Kind of blows my mind. But isn't that more testament to how good he is and what they've built, how impressive that is?
I think I would look at this more like Colin Kaepernick is going to have a sophomore slump, and I'm still not sold that he's going to be like a long-term starter in the NFL. But, you know, he's got to bounce back. He's got to figure out what's going
on. Another headline. Has he been solved?
Well, for the moment, yeah.
I don't think he's anything special to be solved, if you get what I'm saying. He's just, it's another read option quarterback.
Am I
missing something there? Like, if you've solved one, you've kind of solved them all.
I heard Ron Jaworski said something.
Oh, Jaws? Jaws the guru?
What he said is that Kaepernick has yet to learn how to read
Jaws.
A progression to the third receiver.
I hate Jaws so much.
I hate his voice. I hate his voice.
I hate what he has to say.
I think that's a fair statement, though.
If you ever want to put too much credence in Jaworski, Google Ron Jaworski, what he said about Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, really?
If you want to laugh, if you want to cover for 20 seconds, I'll Google it up. Now.
Well, I'll put this. No, like, I'll put it this way. Like, what I heard him say about Kaepernick, he was actually doing the same thing with Kaepernick. He's like, I love this guy. He's got to learn to read to the third receiver in the progression. I'm like, you know, that's actually difficult from what I understand. That's not just something you do. Some guys never figure that out, and that's why Jamarcus is Jamarcus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, all you got to do is learn to read that third receiver in the progression. I'm like, you have 2.7 seconds at most.
I was going to say, that's fast.
Yeah. I don't think it works that way, man. Like, if Bolden and Davis are getting taken away, and those are primary targets for him, he's going to have a struggle. Like, he's really never going to get to that third receiver anyway, because that roster doesn't look so hot in the pass-catching department other than those two guys.
Well, real fast, the other story then from the other side of that game, Richardson trade, way too early to say anything, or are we noticing that he looks like his old Cleveland self with a new team, despite having this passing threat and Luck alongside him?
Explain to me why the fuck everybody's making like this has been an awesome trade for the Colts.
I'll do it. They have the first and third pick from last year's draft. And
Alex Smith and David Carr were the first overall pick. All right. Remember that? Like, to me, Trent Richardson, the second he came to Cleveland,
he was a very hyped back. I think the consensus, again, a lot of people thought the moon of Jamarcus Russell. So obviously you can prognosticate all you want. But I believe the consensus was when he came to the league, this is the best thing that's arrived since Adrian Peterson in terms of a running back.
I mean, he's very strong. He can definitely like make the first guy miss. He's a professional running back to me. But going back to something Jim Brown said, he said, this is an average back. And when
Jim
you look
Brown
at his
never
stats,
cared for him. A lot of people thought it was Jim Brown being a pissy old cunt, but he might be vindicated.
No, because I remember Jim Brown like was confused when Ricky Williams like just decided he was going to retire for that year. He's like, what a waste. Like,
oh,
he actually
Ricky.
Does like good backs. I'm the same way. Like, I really love that position. It's my favorite thing in football. And to me, like, I see Trent and I'm just like, that man's never going to break off a 70-yard run in the NFL. Like, he can make people miss at the line. It's kind of cool to watch him, like, compete physically with defensive linemen. Like, he can do that, but he's gonna go down and he's not gonna get more than 5 yards often. And if you look at his average per carry,
3.5, if I recall,
yeah, and he was under 3 yards a carry that game yesterday. So to me, it's just they have a guy who will help them. Probably he can also pass protect, but I don't know what they're hoping from him, because like last I checked, Cleveland won their game too with a third string cornerback and running back by committing. I mean, they they put quite the upset on Sunday, and they didn't need Trent Richardson. Willis McGahee is coming in as their running back. I would actually take, people are going to get pissed at me, but I would take Willis McGahee right now over Trent Richardson. Like a 33 or however old Willis McGahee is. Like, he's going to do 3.5 yards per carry too. You know, I mean, it's just like, I don't understand like why Trent Richardson is looking as, like, why do people think that they just ended their season by trading him? I think it was a wasted pick last year when they took him, frankly.
Yeah, but you show a commitment to the now by keeping that third pick around.
I think Holger...
As simple as that. A lot of football's perception, man. Again, I've always said you should probably be building your line. And then skill positions. And then one of the last pieces you get to plug in is the quarterback. And yet, how many struggling teams go out there and they're like, our entire team is dog shit, top to bottom, but we got our franchise quarterback.
Like,
and the guy is shell-shocked 3 years later because he's getting sacked 14 times a game. Slight exaggeration. And then he's out of the league in five.
Look at Christian Ponder, man. Like, yeah. I feel like they traded up to take him 12. I'm like,
David Carr
what?
Again. David Carr is the classic. I'm not saying he would have been the most talented, but isn't the entire tale of David Carr that he got the shit rung so many times in his head that like he just saw ghosts everywhere?
Yeah,
and that was it. He was cooked. Like, you could just kind of put pressure on him, but yeah.
I just remember the first time I saw David Carr run out, and he his wife told him he couldn't take off his wedding ring, so he put tape around it in order to protect his finger, and I was like, this is gonna be a problem.
Yeah,
this guy, I don't know about this guy.
Moving on, how big was Andy Reid's victory in Philadelphia Thursday night? I'm not sure if you watched that one. They had Donovan there. It was like a whole homecoming thing. I think Donovan got his jersey retired. He came in. Andy did. That was my first chance seeing the Chiefs offense this year.
What'd you think?
Fuck me. Is that dude boring as shit to watch, Alex Smith?
Yeah.
My God damn. He will not throw a ball if there is coverage within 2 yards of his intended target. Fuck.
So what do you think? Are they going to make the... How do you see them making the playoffs, and how far do you think they can go?
Well, they got the roadblock of Denver in their division. They're not going to eclipse Denver.
I can't wait to watch the first game between those two teams.
Yeah, they'll lose that. They'll lose that.
All right.
Barring their defense really coming to life. And their defense was good. But again, it becomes how much was their defense good? How much is Chip Kelly's offense, which I might have called out week one, even after they trumped the Redskins? I said, this thing ain't shit. And Chip Kelly comes out. He's like, you know what? We weren't fast enough. Remember that, Chip? Week one, not fast enough. How about you just come out and say we're not scoring enough points? Calling the real problem now. AFC is they could wild card.
Right.
I'll give you that. I mean, you're talking being 3-0, you win another, you've won the first quarter of your season. It's always fun that first few weeks of the season where you're like, it's early on, things can change, and then you realize you've put some in the bank. You know, it's like seeing a fucked up 14-year-old, and you're like, he'll grow out of it. And then he's doing the same shit at 22. And you're like, wait a minute, a pattern has been established. Well, the same thing has occurred.
I mean, look at the Dolphins right now. The Dolphins have put themselves in a position already to compete for the wild card. Because I don't think that team is good. But they have two road wins. And they beat the Falcons. And that's the first 3 weeks of the season. So they banked three games that they might have lost later in the season. And they might be able to squeak into the wild card. I mean, I can't explain how they even won this week.
I didn't get to see it. I heard it was a hell of a performance, man.
Nah, like, if you look at their stats, man, they were outplayed. They didn't even win the turnover battle.
All I know is Tannehill apparently had, like, a last possession winning drive.
Yeah, but he didn't manage the clock. They had the ball for 23 minutes. That's not a formula for winning football.
No, it isn't.
So I don't know how they're going to be able to sustain the success, but they definitely banked
the
games.
So you don't expect them to?
I can't wait for the first.
Or do you think they're maturing and they'll figure their shit out?
Nah, I'm pretty sure like they'll play New England for the first time.
Are they this year's Cardinals? Was it last year the Cards started 4-0 and fucking rattled off 12 losses?
They were something like 5-11 by the end.
No, I think it was literally 4-0 to 4-12. It was fucking insane.
No, I don't think they should be able to win some games because they get to play the Jets and Bills like twice each.
Jets looking not horrible.
Dude, the Jets playing the Bills yesterday was a garbage-ass game, and I watched the fourth quarter of that.
Why?
Because it was close. I was just like, you know what? This is actually kind of entertaining because you have two rookie quarterbacks.
I do the same thing. If I'm not completely vested in a game, I will flip to whatever's close. And it could be two piece-of-shit teams. It can be my all-time garbage example. It can be the Browns versus Jacksonville. And I'll watch it if it's close because I'm like, fuck it, it's close.
No, man, I'm just saying, like, to me, watching that game, it's basically like you have EJ Manuel and Geno Smith. They're learning on the job. It's basically like Barack Obama's first term where it's like they just got handed the keys to a Lamborghini and they got to learn how to drive stick for the first time. So,
all right. Well, back to the Chiefs. You think they're getting the wild card? And also, how screwed is Chip Kelly?
All right. Chiefs, I think they're competing for the wild card for sure. I think Andy Reid is not going to let them slip low 500 this season. I don't know if it's going to be good enough to get in the wild card, but again, they're four out of conference. Like, I think they have four games against the NFC East, which is a pretty big advantage right now.
Oh, is the NFC's NFC East AFC squad the West this year? I didn't know that.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's going to be an advantage for the Chiefs against their other AFC opponent.
And who's their NFC? The NFC East is NFC South? Is that their other NFC this year?
Wait, the AFC?
No. You know, you get your other... You got the guys in the other conference, and then you just get the other...
Oh, yeah, there's the division in the other conference, yeah. The other division in the NFC.
In your division, yeah.
I thought it was the South, yeah.
No, I think it's the South, yeah. Which looks okay this year. Saints are looking good.
Saints... Well, I don't know what's up with the Falcons right now. That's brutal. They're 1-2.
I've always thought poorly of the Falcons.
Yeah.
Always. They always were the team that could run it up and do well in the regular season. And I'll tell you, a bitch-ass team, I'll tell you how to identify it. It's a team that, despite a sick regular season record, gets to the postseason, and they're fucking never favored by much, or they're not favored.
Yeah.
And that was always the Falcons, man. They would always be like 12-4, 13-3, some bullshit like that. And they'd host the game. And they're favored by like 2.5.
Yeah. So
you're telling me that's an intimidating team?
No.
That's someone Vegas is just like, fuck it, they're at home. I guess we have to give it to them, but we don't want to.
Because Seattle almost had that crazy comeback against the Falcons in the playoffs last year.
They barely lost.
Seattle has to be the favorite against the Falcons if they meet in the playoffs, because everybody's going to look back at that game. They're like, I don't care where the game is played, if it's in Georgia or Washington.
That's the one circumstance where I would try to pick the Falcons. I would love to see that grudge match.
Well, that's personal hatred, man. That's different.
Let hate cloud your mind.
But I'm going to tell you how the Eagles still might make the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you, too. It's the secret called the NFC East is fucking garbage right now. Other than the Cowboys looking competent.
Well, they lost to the Chiefs, too.
Yeah, but we're just picking the Chiefs as like a not bad team, and Cowboys are 2-1 and have looked, do I want to say fairly convincing? I mean, they barely lurched by New York despite 6 turnovers.
That's bad.
Yeah, they're all right. They're all right. I don't see the Eagles taking the Cowboys. I see the Cowboys winning the East this year.
I think it's too early to tell. Like, believe it or not.
It is. Dude, it's a 2-game gap with like all of your divisional games left almost.
Yeah, let me tell you, because like Redskins are in the toilet right now.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say that they're out of the playoffs.
Played their best game yesterday.
So the trajectory is on the right course. But the reality is, like, what, you're 0-1 in the division right now?
Yeah, Eagles lost.
If you finish 4-2 in the division, that basically means that you have covered the gap that you have right now with Dallas. That means, like, you basically...
Oh, they beat Dallas twice. I mean, what do you want? That's as long as they're not bombing everywhere else, they can limp in.
It's really now going to be a divisional grudge match in the East to see which one team gets to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
That would be what I want football to be shit on. I'm just not having fun with this year. So I want football to take a nice shit helmet, and I want someone to limp out of the East at 8-8 and win the Super Bowl. Unless it's the Cowboys, then it's unacceptable. Neither the Giants, but I'll take the Eagles limping out at 8-8. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll take the Skins winning the ball. But the East, you said a fact that shocked me right before the show. 5 teams with winning records.
In the NFC altogether, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got what? The Bears, the Saints. We can do this.
Seahawks,
Detroit,
and Dallas.
That's it.
Everybody else is 1-2 or winless.
Wow. That's shocking, man.
So, I mean, we let off with the Niners, and the Niners beat Green Bay. Those are 2 teams that made the playoffs last year, and no, they're both technically losers right now.
The Falcons are
losers, another playoff team.
We have to move past it, but I am shocked by Green Bay, despite it kind of just being it seems like a limited team to me. I don't know. It's Rodgers, and he's so far above anything else on that squad. It does blow my mind that they're like picked all the time for that division. I guess they've done so well, but dude, the Bears got that. I'm sorry, the Bears look like a way more complete team than Green Bay.
I think losing Greg Jennings was greatly underestimated by the front office of Green Bay. In the same way, I still feel like the Baltimore Ravens greatly underestimated what losing Anquan Boldin would do to their offense. So I think a dominant wide receiver, even if they're not getting all the balls, they change the way that defenses line up against your receivers. And right now, Green Bay, they could be winning these games that they're losing by like slim margins, but their defense is just not really set up to like be the decisive factor in games. It really has to be Aaron Rodgers in that passing game. So losing Greg Jennings to me, we'll see if they can adjust. So the Ravens are starting to adjust to their new setup, but I'll tell you, it wasn't the offense that won for the Ravens. So,
I guess that wraps up what happened this week. I know you want to move past that into what we're looking forward to. I just want to toss in Steelers looking horrible. You're like, we spend too much time on the Steelers. It's a big team. You could spend a whole episode on the Steelers. People would probably listen. If you're just playing the odds,
yeah,
you probably
true.
Got more Steelers listeners and Cowboys listeners than anyone else.
What's stunning to me is like, they're going over to London to play the Vikings, and both those teams are winless. Somebody's going to leave that game.
The Wembley game, the yearly Wembley game. Are they up to 2 this year? I get the feeling they're doing like 2 this year. I could be wrong.
Let's start with the first one, because that's the one that is coming up here right now.
That's Sunday at 1, correct?
And that would have looked good on paper to me like a month ago. I would have been like, that's hype. If I were in London, I'd be so stoked, because like the Vikings were a playoff team last year. The Steelers are the Steelers.
You've got a sick running back, and you've got, exactly, you've got the Steelers, the creme de la creme of American football. And you've got two 0-3 squads facing off against each other. That's football, man. That's the magic of this fucking sport. It's just,
they're finally like, you know what? We're sick of like sending you guys the Rams every year. We're going to send you a couple good teams this year.
No more Jacksonville. No more Dolphins. We're cutting you a fucking break. Ironically, you sent the Dolphins this year. It would have been amazing. Goddamn Peyton Tannehill over there, apparently. Oh, my God.
But no, like,
Brits can't win, man.
Did you watch the Steelers play the Bears last night?
I watched the majority. I'm trying to think the stuff I watched this week. I watched all of Thursday night football. I punched in and out of the Sunday night game because I've only got one more week of it. Breaking Bad, just one of those shows you cannot sit on your DVR viewing of it. You don't want it spoiled. And then last night I was really fucked because it was also the Dexter finale, which, such a bad show. I tapped out of it years ago and then somehow tapped back in like a horse's ass.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've been missing out. Nah, John wasn't missing out on shit.
Terrible series finale?
Below average.
Okay.
I mean, just shitty special effects. Like, the show really didn't have a special effects budget because it's like CSI.
Right.
But there's a hurricane. There's hurricane metaphor is striking Miami. And Dexter stands in front of it at some point, and it's just the shittiest CGI'd storm. It literally looked like they took a scene from Twister and just painted it in.
I thought you were going to say Sharknado.
Yeah, that would have been. Dude, it looked on par as Sharknado.
Yeah.
Like fucking Ian Ziering should have been there with a chainsaw.
Well, so possibly the game last night was better than the Dexter series finale, but it doesn't.
No, possibly.
It doesn't sound better than Breaking Bad, and I'll be real, like,
no,
watching...
No, Breaking Bad was so good, as always.
I'm still concerned about the Bears. I'm still concerned because they can't sustain these big leads.
Here's the thing.
Or they have to make a comeback.
If you want to time out when I watch the game, the entire swath of the game that I watched, the Bears were getting the shit kicked out of them by the Steelers.
Oh, in the third quarter, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to say it was, like, part of the second and all of the third.
But they took a big lead in that first half, man. And
when I came in, it looked like the Bears were, I think Bears were up like 24-3, something in that range.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden it was like 21-24 or some shit, or 21-27.
And so they only won by, you know.
Oh, they won 40-27 or some shit?
Yeah. But,
like, I punched out and the Bears started kicking ass again.
Because so
I
was
a Chicago fan, don't let me watch your games, apparently.
But not like they had 5 turnovers in a game that the Steelers frankly lost.
Yeah.
And the Bears, I have hope for them this year insofar as it seems like they've gotten better every week so far this year. They have a new head coach, new offense. And the biggest thing is Cutler's buying into it. He actually, I don't know if you watched the replay of him taking out, I shit you not. He went straight
lower up, in the shoulder?
Yeah, he went straight up Michael Vick on a defensive back where he's like, I'm going to stay in bounds and I'm just going to knock this dude out.
Yeah, that wasn't his smartest move, but it was cool. It's ballsy. That's the type of shit when it works. Everyone's like, yay! Yeah. I know I shouldn't be cheering this, but yay! And then he fucking pops his shoulder into 4 pieces. Everyone's like, that dumb, cocky son of a bitch.
But if any quarterback needed to show that he's not just
he's
a bitch,
balls,
he's
going
to flop, it's him. So,
what
like,
year? Was it 2 years ago or last year where he exited?
A couple years ago, yeah.
And he's just like, I'm injured. And he comes back on the sideline after the half and just sits there and fucking looks like he's pouting.
He's a powder. He did that.
And he's banging Kristen Cavallari, or Cavallari, however you pronounce it. I don't know. She's hot.
I don't hate the guy. I actually do want to see him play better. I actually do want to see the Bears like do better with like
the
fresh
start. He was like one
of
those weird. I don't want to say it was like the Richardson trade, but I mean the dude was a franchise quarterback. Everyone recognized his talent, and what, he was gone out of his rookie contract.
They trade him out of Denver because, like, he was a
he was raising a damn scene.
Yeah, he was like it was a small child throwing a temper tantrum, and it's like, we wish you the best of luck in your next franchise.
Yeah.
He's better with the Bears, but, you know, he's had his moments there that have been negative, and I think now he's got a offensive-minded coach who does protection first. And now that he has a system that's set up to keep him from taking hits, he's going to be willing to dish out a little bit more too. Like, he's going to be more into playing the game now. So I see good things for them. My problem is they're not really, they're just not doing well as far as finishing games at the moment. So it's the first month of the season. Let's see if they can get better every week, because they're a team right now that seems a little bit ahead of the curve of everybody else in the NFL.
You think they get past Detroit this week? You think they go 4-0?
Ooh, that's going to be a fun game. I think that's going to be a fun game, because you hate the Lions, but I love the
Lions.
I think that's a great team. I'm going to pick the Lions
like,
right now. I don't
like
even care what the game is.
I like the Lions when they fucking suck shit.
Yeah.
Then they amuse me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't hate them. I'm very indifferent about the Lions. Like, if they don't have Barry Sanders, then what do I care?
Yeah, it's been a while for me to have, like, really been that committed to watching them. But Megatron.
For anyone.
Dude, Megatron's awesome.
Yeah.
Watching that beast play.
Nah, he's awesome.
So I'm going to pick Detroit in that game, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Detroit at home. I am going to go with the Bears.
All right.
Because, one, we need an antagonistic dynamic on the show. And, two, I just don't. The Lions shoot themselves in the foot. They're one of the most penalized teams in the league, right? That trend hasn't stopped, last I checked.
Divisional rivalry. We'll see what happens. They might actually clean up for a week just because it's the Bears.
Just out of spite.
Yeah. Just out of spite, this will be their clean game of the year.
And then Sue will exit the stadium and stomp on a hot dog vendor, get it out of his system.
Only after he gets the hot dog.
We've also got 49ers-Rams, which I wanted to talk about simply because if the 49ers lose this one, and they can,
it's in Missouri,
I will pull out Rams, one of these little factoids that I like to pull out all the time so I sound remotely knowledgeable of the sport. Rams went 4-1-1 in their division last year. They're at home. They could easily take out an ailing 49ers team. At that point, are the 49ers just out of it?
No, not at all. Dude, the NFC is terrible.
You think, well, they could card in. Have they lost their division?
They're going to have a tough time coming back without Seattle faltering. Seattle does have a tough stretch of games in November. Because I think they're going AFC South. So,
which has suddenly proven itself to be, well, let's not go nuts. Still got Jacksonville.
Yeah. But no, yeah.
Titans, like, look okay, though. Shit, man. I did not expect them to beat San Diego yesterday.
Watch for Jake Locker this season. I kind of hated on him
when
he came. Actually, I hated on him last week on the show, but he led a game-winning drive yesterday. So if he's allowed to run the ball at least like 10% of the time, because he is a dual-threat quarterback, if he's run more than 10% of the time, he's a better quarterback. So if they use him correctly, they could be a playoff team.
Now, never mind. I was going to say something that could have gotten me in trouble, but I'm not going to say it. I'm just looking at pictures right now, and I was going to, A, ask how Chris Johnson is this year, because I don't do fantasy.
Right.
That's the one thing that keeps me above the rest of you.
I don't follow football like that.
And then I was going to say, is Chris Johnson the same man as Jamal Charles? But it's just really like a black dreadlocked guy thing.
Wow.
They have there are some angles they look about the same, but I'm looking at pictures of Jamal Charles right now. Not so similar facially. Yeah. Also has normal teeth.
Wow.
Normal human teeth, not metal predator teeth.
Jamal's
they don't look alike.
Jamal's my boy, man. He went to Texas.
Oh, and someone takes back the racist crown.
What? Oh, come on, man. I live in the hood now and shit,
I'm going to take it out of context, and here's your crown, Your Majesty.
Hey, fuck you for trying to take away my black card.
It has been taken away and burned. We also have Dolphins Saints.
That's bizarre.
Two undefeated squaring off.
I can't believe
that
you just
said saying that. Yeah.
Where is that game being played?
At New Orleans. At the Superdome.
Dude, I would. Yeah. We should get Joel in this one, but I would take the Saints like double digits.
I think everyone would take the Saints, but if the Dolphins walk out with the win, is New England screwed? Is New England shitting its pantaloons?
I would actually have to see them play New England head-to-head, honestly, because like you could just see them getting bitch-slapped twice head-to-head. That's how I still feel about the Dolphins. I just don't see them beating New England
twice. The great sweatshirt would out-coach them?
If they split, though,
I would consider that a victory.
Like, yeah, of course.
Jesus, that's the whole thing. That was the secret of the Pats' success for so many years. Was there a weaker division, really, than the East? The AFC East, man.
Well, there was a couple years the Jets, like,
were kind of pretending. I think they did what? Like 3-1 initially? I forget the figure. It was, God, Rex was either 3-1 or 4-1 maybe even in their first matchups, and it's just been winless since.
It's been pretty bad.
He's been there, what, 5 years?
I thought last season was his third season, right?
No, I think it's his fifth, because his first that sounded like, willow, no. His first two seasons with Sanchez, they get to the AFC Championship. The next two, they miss the playoffs, and then I think we're a number five. Because this is the last year of Sanchez's rook contract.
Okay.
And that would be a five-year affair. I could be wrong, but those numbers kind of are in my head.
Yeah, I think they have Sanchez for another year. I think they're stuck with him for another year.
After this?
They might be.
Ugh. I thought they, like...
I think they can cut him after this year, and the cap hit isn't too bad next year.
Ugh.
That's basically, he's been set. They're screwed with his contract, by the way, like, if they're stuck with him another year.
And then the last two matchups we decided to pick out and highlight. For some reason, no, not for some reason. This is a good one. Seahawks, Texans. Texans, do they bounce back?
I'm worried about that team now.
Hosting the Seahawks.
I'm officially worried because, I mean, it's not that they lost to Baltimore, but they scored 9 points against the team.
They got fucking the shit slapped out of them by Baltimore. Yeah. A team, I might add, has not looked good, per se.
They didn't look good yesterday either. I mean, here's what happened with Baltimore yesterday, because I watched first half this game, and then the second half, well, I'll talk about the second half in a minute, but the first half, like, Texans shut down the Ravens, too. The Ravens' offense did not look good. There was an interception return for a touchdown, and then a punt return for a touchdown to end the half. So it was 17-9 at the end of the first half. And both touchdowns for the Ravens had nothing to do with Joe Flacco.
Ugh.
And so then the second half...
I remember those days for the Ravens, mind you. You would flip to the game and be like, oh, okay, they're putting up some points. And then you'd realize it was two pick sixers.
So he did a good job of managing the clock in the second half. And like slowly, he showed that he is better than Trent Dilfer by like actually affirmatively scoring touchdowns in the second half once they had a lead. But he hasn't really shown an ability to get a lead on his own this season. So that's what's worrisome. Like, this team is starting to form a new identity, but it's not going to be the same as last year whatsoever.
You mean exactly its old identity? Where we hope our quarterback doesn't lose the game for us and our defense will put up 14 of our points? I remember those Ravens.
This team is not going to be able to put those kinds of points up on defense, I don't think, man.
No, they're
not
as deep.
The reality to me is that the Texans' offense is kind of predictable. Because, like, even watching the first half of that game on that interception return for a touchdown, Dan Dierdorf actually said the Texans run that play all the time. What a great read by the linebacker who saw that play coming and just picked it off and ran to the end zone. And to me, I'm not a big Dan Dierdorf fan. If he thinks the Houston Texans offense is predictable and shares that with America, they need to go back to the drawing board on how they're running that offense.
Duncy beer and sausage brain of his.
I'm just saying, like, if they're scoring 9 points, basically there's something about the way they're calling plays that's really obvious, because right now, Schaub is really doing terrible. Arian Foster has horrible numbers, too. Ben Tate, people are saying, is going to be the new running back for that team, possibly.
Well, don't they think that Foster's just been run to death at this point? Like, they're such a run-centric offense for a long time. I've heard talk that he's kind of beat.
What I don't understand is, like, I looked at the reception numbers for Tate and Foster. Where the hell are the pass catches coming from the backfield for that team? Like, they've relied on that kind of heavily, because with Foster, his big thing is being a dual threat running back. Like, he can catch the ball as well as run it. So they're just running him right now, and it's not working. That team just looks bad. So they'd better do something against Seahawks this week. Otherwise, I don't know.
And last but not least, Giants versus Chiefs. Do the Giants just stay pinned down? Do they 0-4? Does it cost Coughlin his job?
I don't want to talk about Coughlin. I want to talk about Eli Manning.
Not after this game, mind you. Just the end of season.
I think Eli Manning needs to be fired, really. Like, you look at his cap number.
Not going to happen.
No, dude. He's...
It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's just the league.
They got to get rid of him.
You can't fire a Manning. Yeah, okay, in a cold, objective world, I'm with you, but it's not going to happen.
Dude, they just got beat. I would have said that. I would agree with you a week ago, but they just got walloped 38-0.
Dude, Manning has always been the kind of quarterback where he's borderline, and if they're not doing well, it's really easy to be like, he's why. And if they're winning, you kind of don't want to give him the credit unless you have to. It's almost like, Yeah, he gave him 4 touchdowns, but...
I'm just saying, he makes way too much money for them to be bad.
I think you just kind of have a problem with what quarterbacks make in this league, and that's just the reality of it. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's the way they've taken the league.
I've been looking at this recently. Like, I prefer the rookie quarterback contracts. And there are a few guys at the top of the pay board that I think are worth. I do think, actually, I'll admit, Peyton Manning is worth his contract. I think Tom Brady is actually worth his contract. I think Drew Brees is worth his contract. Why are those three guys worth their contracts?
Double check.
Yes, but actually, he's not making nearly as much as they are, to be honest.
What? I thought he was literally the top of the top.
Well, yeah, sorry, this season. Like, what he's getting paid for his cap number this year.
I thought he was $22 million this year. Am I wrong on this? I thought he was, like, literally the top fucking QB contract.
Nah, his cap number this year is $12 million. He's actually slightly below Mike Vick this year.
Are you shitting me?
I got it up right now, yeah. It's on overthecap.com, yeah. Eli's got the top number this year, like almost 21.
All right, hold up. Okay, so I did remember the chart correctly, though. Rodgers is at the top.
Yeah, for overall contract value, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I don't know. Different. What's the APY amount per year?
Average per year, yeah.
Average per year. Okay, so he was top at 22 as well.
Yeah, no, okay, so that might be true, but for this specific season, I'm looking at Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady being 3 of the top 5. Eli and Matt Stafford.
Stafford looks like he has the fucking... Jesus, Stafford's guaranteed 13?
Talk to the Lions. The Lions need any sort of desperate, like...
Oh, yeah, hope. They were... When I'm talking about those Hail Mary teams, our entire team sucks, let's get a quarterback, I was just thinking of Stafford.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think that's bad for that team, because, like, they've been so dreadful since Sanders left, so...
Yeah, they kind of had to just take their Hail Marys.
But the Giants are the Giants, and they can't afford a $21 million quarterback who loses games to Carolina.
I think they lose, by the way. I think they lose this week to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are too even. Giants are desperate, and I think they have a good defense. And if Eli has been having problems with who he's had problems with so far, why would they win?
I'll say this. I enjoy the return of the grudge match between Andy Reid and Tom Coughlin. That's going to be a fun game for that reason. I'm going to have to say, though, that I wouldn't surprise me if the Giants won just for that, because I do think Coughlin has shown the ability to beat Andy Reid, though, like, Reid himself has had some great games out coaching Coughlin as well. So we'll see who comes out of this game.
Sorry, I was reaching over. I wanted to cue up Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time on vinyl. Can we use that as an outro?
No.
No? Mr. Legal? Queering things up. I wanted that as the outro. Now we have no outro music. So thanks. Thanks, anus. Should we just punch out with the song we use as the intro, too? We do need some sort of outro.
Yeah, if there are any musicians out there who want to...
I'll just take one of Will's songs.
All right, fine.
I'll just borrow
Never
some
mind.
From Gray Sky Eternal. Fucking open call to musicians. I'll just say, hey, brother, no. Can I take another one of your songs?
All right, man.
By the
fine.
Way, if you like the intro, Gray Sky Eternal does it. G-R-E-Y... Sky Eternal. It's called Annie Sorrow. Why? Plug them. They give us crap.
No, yeah. I like that you quit spelling after the first word. But I forget there's two spellings of gray. That's why you did it.
Yeah. You use the fancy queer one.
I think it's British.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Synonym. All right.
All right, guys. You've been listening to Papa's Football Podcast. The show's website is pfpod.com. We didn't do any of this during the intro, because we just jumped right into the show. I don't know if that'll play better or worse. Howard, you listen to these things, so tell me if it sounded good or not.
I think we'll be good, because we're basically going to have people who listen to this from the website. So
if they didn't make it to the end, they probably weren't following us anyhow. Let's think of it that way. Show's website again, pfpod.com. Find Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes, please, if you have the podcast app or if you have the Android equivalent thereof. Just find us. Subscribe to it and rate it. Those are the two things we need you to do. Oh, and review it. So three things. But the content's free, so get off your ass and do it. The problem is we should just charge 99 cents and then not ask them to do this, because people would rather do one click than all this other shit, even if it costs them a buck. We suck at this. I'm at Papa's Basement on Twitter if you want to get a hold of me. My other shows and websites in papasbasement.com, home of the Papa's Basement podcast. We also do spookiescomic.com. I write that. I don't draw it. I don't do the hard part. Howard Flood, you're at What the F in Heezy on
Follow
Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter, yeah.
And that's all you got to plug a roo right now. We're out of here.